Blog Talk Radio.
After the death of Solomon, God divided the kingdom of Israel into two houses. There were 10 tribes in the northern kingdom, known as the Lost Tribes of Israel. They were cast out into the world because of their great sin against God. However, God promised in the last days he would gather these lost tribes back to Israel before the return of our Lord. Unknowingly, some of the churches made up of these lost tribes, known as the House of Ephraim. God is now calling them to prepare to come back home to the land he gave our fathers. The call to prepare has been sounded.
Welcome, Ephraimites, and Shalom. This is your host, Sister Donna Deckard, and this is the House of Ephraim show with Cradle of Hope. And today is Tuesday, August the 27th, 2024. Exciting. Teachers Tuesday, yes. But first, a word from our announcer.
And now, from Cradle of Hope are some important announcements for you. This month, from Cradle of Hope is a must-have gift offer, the transition of the church. God has transitioned the church since the days of the book of Acts. Don't miss out on this last and greatest move of God. Jesus Christ is returning for a church full of power and glory. This transition will bring the church forward. Send a gift of $25 or more. Call today and get free shipping if you ask for the Transition of Church gift offer. Call 618-262-2810 or go online at jewishprophet.com. Send a gift of $25 or more and ask for the Transition of the Church gift offer.
Welcome back. This is your host, Sister Donna Deckard. I have a few announcements that I want to make. First of all, I want to remind everybody that we have Sukkot coming up. Yeah, the fall feasts are getting close. Yes, they are. Sukkot will be our next event where we will all gather together, and that will be in Sumner, Illinois. Our Sukkot service will begin October the 16th at sundown, and Sukkot goes until October the 23rd. Also, you need to remember that the 17th and the 24th are Shabbats. We will be located this year. We've got a new place. We'll be located at the Lawrence County 4-H Fairgrounds, and that is located on 1100 North Sumner, Illinois, 62366. That's 1100 North Sumner, Illinois, 62366. And it's the Lawrence County 4-H Fairgrounds. Check out our itinerary page. The registration form is there that you can fill out. And we ask that you have that completed by October the 7th. Of course, you know we have our YouTube channel, Jewish Prophet. And on Shabbat night, evenings, on Friday evenings, Prophet Mark has a Shabbat service on that YouTube channel. And every Wednesday evening, I have a service on that YouTube channel. We have Blog Talk Radio, of course, 5 days a week with the late Prophet Deckard and myself. And you can email us at cradle@jewishprophet.com if you have any questions about Sukkot or any of the YouTube or blog. You can email us at that. Well, as I said, today we are going to, because it's Teachers Tuesday, we're going to start a new series. We finished up Those That Hunger, and now we're going to begin with The Root of Bitterness. The Root of Bitterness. Bitterness. Yakishingabaha. Bitterness. You know, I was sitting in the service when Prophet ministered about the root of bitterness in 2019. And yesterday, Kayleen had sent her to get something out of one of my dresser drawers, and she came back with this little square about 4 inch by 4 inch white cloth, had a big A on it, and it had the letters bitterness, and then it had the date of 2096. I'm sorry, not 19. Prophet would have been gone. 2096. And she's like, Mom, she goes, this was in your drawer. I said, yes. That was when Prophet preached about bitterness and when God had begun to deal with me about getting rid of bitterness. Bitterness. Bitterness will steal the things of God from you. Bitterness will steal the things of God from you. How many of you have been praying, believing, asking God for things? But you have bitterness. And bitterness is like a root. It's like a root. You know, right now, where I live, the ground is extremely dry. And it's very hard. And we have some weeds that have these long taper roots, like a carrot. A carrot is a long taper root. And we have these weeds that have these long taper roots. And I have learned, because I grew up on this clay ground, I have learned that if you want to get rid of those weeds that have a taper root, you have to dig them out in the spring. Because this time of year, well, that clay is like concrete. And that taper root, you're not going to get it out. You're not going to get it out. It's going to break off, and you're not going to get the whole root, and then it'll come up from that root. Believe me, I've done it. The root of bitterness. Bitterness is like a root that just goes deeper and deeper into your life, and it will steal the things of God from you. It is not an attribute of God. It's an attribute of the devil. It's not an attribute of God. It's an attribute of the devil. Ponder that. Ponder that. We are to be Christ-like. Christ was not bitter. God will not honor your prayers if you harbor bitterness. And what does it take to set you free from bitterness and to become all that God wants you to be? What's it going to take? What's it going to take? Do you know what it takes? It takes a quality decision from you. It takes a quality decision of saying, God, show me the bitterness. Show me the bitterness, God. God has invested in your life, and you are going to have to grow up enough to get rid of bitterness. Bitterness is childish. Childish. I remember years ago, I remember paying attention to the older ladies in my community. And this one lady, I'm telling you, she influenced my life so much. She was happy. She didn't pass away till she was in her 90s. And I remember when she passed away, I remember as a young child, she had smile wrinkles. Why? Because she was always happy. She was always smiling. The other women in the neighborhood had these scrawly looks on their face, and they had frown wrinkles. And I remember as a young child saying, I want to have smile wrinkles when I grow old. Well, guess what? You can't have bitterness. This woman had no bitterness. Oh, did she have a hard life? Yes, she did. I remember her husband died of a heart attack one morning. Shook the whole community. I had no idea what it was like to lose a husband. I was just a child. But I'll never forget. She didn't grow bitter. She stayed a happy person. Why? Because she had a relationship with the Father. And she didn't allow bitterness to come in. And I had determined that I was going to be happy like her. And what does that take? That takes you being determined not to allow bitterness to grow. Oh, there was a time in my life that bitterness that weed had set root in my heart, and I had to have it rooted out. That's why I had that anointed cloth, because I had went up for prayer, and Prophet had handed out the cloth. The thief, turn with me to John 10:10. John 10:10. The thief cometh not but for to steal and to kill and to destroy. Darkness wants to kill you. Darkness wants to steal from you. Darkness wants to destroy what God has invested into you. Yeshua said, I came that you might have life. But I want you to look at this last phrase, and that you might have it more abundantly. You see, when I looked at these women in the neighborhood that had bitterness, they had life. They were alive. They were living life. But they didn't have the abundant life. Yeshua wants you and I to have the abundant life. But we have to learn the tactics of the enemy. We have to recognize the things that the enemy is going to throw at us. And we have to decide, hey, that's not for me. You are going to have to decide, hey, God, every time bitterness comes up, every time that weed begins to grow in my heart, show it to me, God, so I can rip it out before it develops that long taper root. We have opportunities all the time to be bitter. All the time, you have opportunity to be bitter. But it's a choice. It's a choice, and it's your choice. You can choose to be bitter, or you can choose to forgive and have abundant life. It's your choice. It's your choice. See, it's not about whether life dealt you a hard hand. It's not about whether the circumstances are not convenient or exciting or wonderful. It's not about that. It's about even when the circumstances stink, even when that happens to you. This woman's husband passed away of a heart attack. They went to bed one night, married, and the next morning, he was gone. And her life did a change. her life was different from that day forward. And she lived probably 30 years after he passed as a widow. Not feeling sorry for herself. Not complaining, oh me, why did God allow my husband to die of a heart attack? No. No. She served the Lord. I remember she'd come by and pick us up. For 4 years, she picked us up, me and my sister, and took us to church. I remember. She was a happy woman. She didn't have bitterness. She had abundant life. And that's what God wants for you and I. We have to begin to look at bitterness at what it is. It's sin. It's sin. It's saying, God, you dealt me the wrong hand. It's saying, God, I can't handle this. And yet, God doesn't allow anything to happen to you and I what it doesn't go through his hands. Bitterness is a killer. It's a killer. Turn with me to Psalms chapter 86, verse 5. Yishabaka. Thank you, Father. For thou, O Lord, art good. Say, God is good. My God is a good God, ready to forgive. God is ready to forgive you and I, and plenteous in mercy unto all them that call upon him. God has plenty of mercy for you and I. You say, God, show me the bitterness. Forgive me for the bitterness. Help me get the bitterness out of my life. God is ready to forgive you for your bitterness. And God has plenty of mercy to help you overcome that bitterness. It's your choice. But I want you to look at something else. We are to be what? We are to be Christ-like, aren't we? Bitterness comes when we have unforgiveness. Unforgiveness will cause bitterness. We are to be forgiving one to another. We are to be forgiving one to another. If you look at the bitterness, if you will honestly look at the bitterness in your heart, you can trace it back to unforgiveness. You can trace it back to unforgiveness. Bitterness is sin. God is ready to forgive, but you have to be ready to give it up. You have to be ready to give up the bitterness. You have to be ready to give it up. Are you ready to give up bitterness? Do you want to give up bitterness? Will you give up the bitterness? If you honestly pray and say, God, show me the bitterness, he'll show you. But then you've got to be able to give it up. You've got to let go of it. You've got to release it. You're going to have to forgive who or whatever it is that you have bitterness towards. God is ready. As I said before, bitterness is the attribute of the devil. Let's look at Matthew chapter 14. Matthew chapter 14. Now this is right after John the Baptist was beheaded. Now John the Baptist was Yeshua's cousin. John the Baptist baptized Yeshua, but it was his relative. And the disciples came and told Yeshua that John the Baptist had been beheaded. Matthew 14:13. When Yeshua heard of it, he departed thence by ship into a desert place apart. So what did he do? He went to go be alone, to grieve. I mean, when you find out a relative passed away, it's not party time, is it? You begin to reminisce the times together. Maybe he began to think about the times that they had played together. Maybe he began to think about the Sukkot that they'd had together, the Passovers that they had been together. Maybe he began to think about how when he went to John the Baptist and said, "Baptize me." And John the Baptist said, "I need to be baptized by you, and you want me to baptize you?" And Yeshua said, "Yes, to fulfill the scriptures." Maybe he remembered those things. Maybe he was thinking about those very things. But he departed to be alone. And when people had heard thereof, they followed him on foot out of the cities. Let me tell you something. When you're in ministry, it doesn't matter if you're grieving. It doesn't matter if you're sick. The people will pull on you. Yeshua went forth and he saw a great multitude. There had been a lot of people that had followed him. And he was moved with compassion towards them, and he healed their sick. So Yeshua traded bitterness for love. He didn't get bitter. He didn't go and say, "I'm going to curse the king and queen." He didn't get bitter against the king and queen for what they had done. No. He had compassion and mercy. And he healed the sick. Traded bitterness for love. You and I need to trade bitterness for love. Can you love that person that you are going to have to give in to the Father to get rid of the bitterness? Like I said, bitterness can grow deep. That's the reason why you have to pray and ask God. Because you see, you're going to look at the surface. You're going to go, "Oh, I'm bitter about this, this, and this." But God is going to go way down deep where that taper root is. And he will bring it up and begin to show you what all you have been bitter against. Oh, he won't do it all at once. He won't do it at once, but he'll bring it up. He'll show it to you. You'll have a thought and about something, and all of a sudden you'll realize God's saying that's bitterness. Get rid of it. Go to Hebrews chapter 12. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 14 and 15. Follow peace with all men. If you have bitterness, Let me tell you something. You're not following peace with all men. You don't have peace with that person. Follow peace with all men. Can you have peace with everybody? Now stop and get honest with yourself. Do you have peace with the coworker? Do you have peace with the person who cut you off as you drove to work this morning? Do you have peace with the boss? Do you have peace with your spouse, your children, your relatives? Follow peace with all men. No exceptions. That's A-L-L. Need to circle it. Underline it. Highlight it. Whatever you do. And holiness, without which no man shall see the Lord. So it doesn't take just praying every day and asking God to forgive you of your sins and doing your best to walk in holiness and harboring bitterness and discord in your heart. You're not going to see God that way. You're not going to see God that way. I'm telling you, the Bible says the way is narrow. The way is narrow. And many will not make it. Why? Because they may work on trying to be holy and come across as religion. You know, I wear my neckline up to my chin and my sleeves and down to my wrist and my dresses down to my ankles. And I look holy. Follow peace with all men. It's a commandment. It's a commandment. It's a commandment. Follow peace with all men. Your Lord. Look diligently, lest any man fail of the grace of God, lest any root of bitterness springing up trouble you and thereby listen. This root of bitterness that can spring up will trouble you, and many are defiled. You see, when I was harboring bitterness, I was defiled and didn't know it. I was defiled. And didn't know it. I was defiled. And didn't know it. And God began to deal with me about the bitterness in my heart. You will get serious with the Father. If you will get honest with the Lord, follow peace with all men and holiness, of which you will not see God. And look diligently for that bitterness. How do you do that? How do you look diligently? You ask the Father, God, show me the bitterness. Show me where I'm defiled. How are you going to get rid of the bitterness? Number one, take full responsibility for your sin and stop blaming others. You are responsible for your words and your actions. You are. You choose. You choose every day for what you're going to say and your actions. You choose. When you walk up to somebody and they have been unlovely to you in the past, how many of you have ever mentally saw them coming and made a mental note of how you were going to treat them? You chose, didn't you? You chose. What are you going to say? What is your action going to be towards that person? You are going to have to take responsibility for your choices. It doesn't matter what the circumstances were. It's your responsibility is your reaction. Number two, you're going to have to confess all bitterness out of your mouth. You're going to have to confess it. When God begins to show you, you're going to have to confess it. Say, God, that's bitterness. I repent. I repent. That bitterness, Father. That wrong attitude towards that person. You have to get to the place where you're not afraid to admit that you're wrong. You have to get to that place. Turn with me to Psalms 51. Now this is about King David. You know, he was anointed king by the prophet Samuel. He went and played the harp for King Saul to soothe the evil spirit God had placed in him. He killed Goliath. And then Saul began to chase David and try to kill him. And God delivered him. God delivered David out of all of that. And he had become the king of Israel. And they had gone to war. David went outside his palace and he looked out from the balcony, and there on the housetop was a woman bathing. She must have been very beautiful. David decided he wanted a piece of that. And so he called for her to come. He was the king. And she went back home. And she sent back word after a few days or weeks or however long. Notified King David, said, I'm with child. Now David had a problem. You see, her husband, Uriah, was an officer in his army that was at war. So how did she get pregnant? David got caught red-handed. So David made up a plan. David decided to call Uriah back to the palace area, back to the city. Ask him about how things were going, and then said, go home and enjoy your wife. Uriah wouldn't do it. Uriah spent the night door of the palace. When David heard, he was like, now I've really got a problem. So he called the commander over Uriah. He said, send Uriah out into the battle. Let's put him on the front line. And then retreat so he gets killed. Now, there's a plan. And sure enough, Uriah was killed. And David took Bathsheba to be his wife. God sees everything. God knew what David had done. God wasn't pleased. David now was out of fellowship with the Father. God could no longer bless David. He was a murderer. He was an adulterer. And I'm sure that God dealt with David's heart, but David didn't budge. And God sent the prophet Nathan. And Nathan exposed David's sin with a parable, a story. And David was wroth. He said that man, he should be killed. And Nathan said, you're the man. This song is David's response to the Father. Psalms 51. Verse 1 through 4, have mercy on me, O God, according to thy loving kindness, according to the multitude of thy tender mercies, blot out my transgressions, blot out the murder, blot out the adultery. Have mercy on me, O Father. David is crying out to God. Wash me thoroughly from my iniquity and cleanse me from my sin. David is repenting. For I acknowledge my transgression. I acknowledge I murdered. I acknowledge that I committed adultery, and my sin is ever before me. Every day he sees Bathsheba, his sin is before him. But look at verse 4. And see, you and I don't think this way. We don't think this way at all. Against thee and thee only have I sinned. God and God only, David sinned? Well, Sister Donna, what about Uriah? He sinned against Uriah, didn't he? He killed him, had him killed. He took his wife. Can you imagine in this day and age? I mean, we would have said, we want a different king. Make him step down. No. He said, God, against you and you only have I sinned. See, we have to understand that when we sin against God. And when people do things to us, we take it personal. That's why we don't forgive, because we take it personal. You see, they're sinning against God, not you. He said, against thee and thee only have I sinned and done this evil in thy sight, that thou mightest be justified when thou speakest and be clear when thou judgest. David said, God, I give myself to you. You judge me. You judge me. Not the people of Israel. See, it's not our job to judge each other. It's God's job. David understood that. understood that. God did not make David step down from being king. God did not kill David. God did not say, David. No, God forgave David. Now, there are consequences to our sin. You see, because of his sin, Bathsheba had a child. And God said, that child will die. And that child died. David fasted. David pled with God. That child died. But David said, have mercy on me, Father, against you and you only have I sinned. You have to get to the place where you're willing to admit that you're wrong. David had his sin all hid. But God knew. And God sent the prophet. And God said, David, get rid of this sin. How do you know that you have forgiven and that the bitterness is gone? How do you know? How do you know? Well, if you quit thinking about it all the time, if you quit talking about it all the time, you have to learn to trust the Father. Give it to Him. You need to confess. You need to pray and confess. I want you to repeat after me. I have had. Come on. I have had a murderous, bitter spirit against, name that person, for years. I have had a murderous, bitter spirit. You see, we go, well, I haven't killed anybody, haven't you? Haven't you? When we judge, when we spread discord, we murder one another with our words. We have to get rid of it. And if you can begin to confess that, when God shows you something, begin to confess, God, forgive me for that murderous, bitter spirit. Go to Genesis chapter 4. Verse 1 through 8. And Adam knew Eve, his wife, and she conceived and bare Cain. And said, I have gotten a man from the Lord. And she bare again his brother Abel, and Abel was a keeper of sheep. But Cain was a tiller of the ground. And in the process of time, it came to pass that Cain brought of the fruit of the ground an offering unto the Lord. And Abel, he also brought the firstling of the flock and the fat thereof. And the Lord had respect unto Abel and to his offering, but unto Cain and his offering he had not respect. What? Why? Blood. It takes a blood sacrifice to cover our sins. Remember? Adam and Eve tried to cover their bodies. Because they realized they were naked. They tried to cover them with fig leaves. But that wasn't sufficient to cover their sin. And God sacrificed an animal. He killed an animal and took the skin and made them covering for their nakedness. But it was also a covering for their sin, the forgiveness, the blood was shed. Yeshua died on the cross, shed his blood for our forgiveness. Down through the scriptures, it was a blood sacrifice that covered sins. And Cain didn't bring that. He brought an offering of the fruit of the ground. But Abel brought a blood sacrifice, and God honored it. And Cain was very wroth, and his countenance fell. Have you ever seen someone who suddenly gets angry? Their countenance falls. Your countenance falls. And go look in the mirror when you're mad about something. Cain's countenance fell. And the Lord said to Cain, why art thou wroth? And why has your countenance fallen? What's your problem, Cain? What's your problem? If thou dost well, shall thou not be accepted? God's like, Cain, if you did it right, wouldn't you be accepted? Evidently, Cain knew how to do it right. And if thou dost not well, sin lies at the door. You see, that anger, that bitterness that Cain was harboring, that caused his countenance to fall, sin lies at the door. Why? Because he separated himself from God now. And to thee shall be his desire, and thou shalt rule over him. See, even there, God is saying, look, Cain, sin is at the door, and it's going to try to rule over you. If the desire is there, the anger, the bitterness against your brother, but you can rule over it. You can change your attitude. You can do that, Cain. But Cain chose not to. I can remember growing up, there were times that we were given jobs to do at home or chores or however you want to call it, or maybe we were told no about something. And I can remember my mother looking at me and saying, I want you to change that attitude right now. Now, I knew that if I didn't change my attitude right then and there, there would be consequences. There would be consequences. I was probably going to get whipped for a bad attitude. God is saying, Cain, change your attitude. God is saying to you and I, change your attitude. Sin lies at the door. The opportunity to grow bitter, to have a murderous, bitter spirit. And Cain talked to Abel, his brother, and it came to pass that when we near a field, that Cain rose up against Abel, his brother, and slew him. Bitterness led to murder. Bitterness, jealousy. God accepted your sacrifice, not mine. It was preconceived. It built up in his heart. That's how bitterness is. God told him, he said, hey, it lies at the door. What are you thinking, Cain? What are your thoughts, Cain? Like, get him alone. I'll show him that goody two shoes. Built up in his heart. It was preconceived murder. You and I need to maintain a clear, forgiving heart. You and I must maintain it. We have to confess it. We have to understand that God doesn't overlook us. Begin to claim that forgiveness from God. Begin to claim it. I'm going to stop there. What about you? What about you? As I've ministered today, has God brought up things to you that you've been bitter about? Things that you need to get out of your heart? That God is saying you have a murderous, bitter spirit. You need to change your attitude. Well, you can do that. Let's pray. Father, come before you. I lift up everyone who's listening. Father, I pray for them. I pray for them that as you have exposed their sin, exposed their bitterness, Father, I pray that they will begin to deal with it. They will be as David. Plead your mercy. Change the way they think, Father. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Now I want to pray for those of you who need healing. Somebody, you've got something going on with your feet. I'm not sure what it is. Your feet, it's like they're on fire. They're hot. They hurt. Every step you take. God wants to heal that. Put your hand wherever it is that you need healing. In the mighty name of Yeshua, I speak healing. I send forth the angels to cause that healing to manifest. Satan, I bind you. I bind you in your lying sentence, and I command you leave their bodies. They're healed from the top of their head to the tip of their toes. In Yeshua's mighty name. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Now do something you couldn't do before. Move those feet around. That's it. Somebody, you got something going on with the tooth. God's healing that right now. Well, I want to thank each of you for tuning in. And I want to remind you, God, all things are possible. Shalom.